serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, where we're usually talking about things that happened 7 decades ago. But this week, we have an incredible new development to discuss, the discovery by the research vessel Petrel of the USS Indianapolis. 3.5 miles deep on the floor of the Philippine Sea, where it was sunk by the Japanese submarine I-58 on July 30, 1945. The research expedition was funded and spearheaded by billionaire Paul Allen, known as a co-founder of Microsoft, the owner of the Seattle Seahawks and Portland Trailblazers. You may not know that he's also a World War II history buff who has a hangar full of still airworthy World War II aircraft, or that Paul Allen would have never been born if his father, Kenneth Allen, hadn't survived an intense bombardment from German 88s on March 18, 1945, when he was setting up a ration point near the bridge over the Rhine in Remagen with the 501st Quartermaster Railhead Company. Kenneth Allen was awarded the Bronze Star for Valor for his actions that day. He died in 1983, but this week his son is a hero to 19 surviving crew members of the USS Indianapolis, as well as the families of those who died in the U.S. Navy's most catastrophic loss 72 years ago. Let's get back now to Paul Leffler III of Fairhope, Alabama. He was 4 years old when the USS Indianapolis disappeared. His father, Paul Leffler Jr., listed as missing in action, and then, of course, presumed lost at sea, like nearly 900 others from that ship who were killed either during the sinking itself or in the 4 days that followed. Followed in shark-infested waters. Paul described for us the feeling of euphoria that came over him when he heard the news that his father's ship had finally been found. When we left off, you were telling us that you didn't even know people were looking for it. But over all these years, had you ever considered the possibility that it might be found, that a discovery like this could lead to more information, maybe, about your father?
Well, you know, I had no idea that people looking for sunken warships. I don't know why I missed that. I know I've found remains of pilots and soldiers and that kind of thing. I'm aware of all that, but I never knew that anybody was out there looking for sunken U.S. warships. Just didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. And I just figured, you know, I'd go to my grave at some point, not knowing that I feel at peace because we know where the ship is now. And I don't know how long DNA survives. I think sometimes it survives for 8 million years if it's protected. So his DNA is probably somewhere on there, and we share the same DNA. So that brings me a semblance of peace about all of this.
Sure. And I don't know if you have an answer for this or not, but when you say you didn't know what happened to him, I mean, what you mean is his watch was over, so you don't know where he went from there. Was he above deck or below deck when they were hit? Did he get off the ship? Was he in the water? Did he get eaten by sharks, as so many did in that disaster? Or was he below deck and somehow still on that ship? And I guess it's conceivable that his dog tags or other possessions of his could potentially be recovered down there.
Yeah, those are all the questions that are out there that aren't answered. As I said, he was a seaman. He was the quartermaster on the bridge, and his watch was over at midnight. Now, I know that his quarters were below deck, but my mother told me that he used to sleep. It was so hot in that part of the Pacific that a lot of the sailors would sleep on deck, which he would also do. So we don't know, as I said, whether he was still there. He was going below. He was below where he was when they were hit. So, as you say, the dog tags, that kind of thing, hopefully they'll find some things. And I don't have any idea if they can actually recover things from the Indy or if the Navy would allow that to happen. I don't know how that would work out. What I am looking forward to, if Allen puts these families together, is meeting some of these people, because there's a lot going on Facebook right now on Paul Allen's Facebook page. People are commenting to me and I'm commenting back to them. And that seems to be one of the main themes, is him putting us together somehow and us meeting each other.
Yeah.
There are people like me whose fathers were lost that are around my age.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the things specifically you had done to try to track down information, the meeting he had had in San Francisco and finding that that other sailor had also died in this disaster. But one thing you've never done is gone to any of the reunions of the survivors or really had much contact with other families who lost people there, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, as I said, nobody could tell anybody anything about Paul Loeffler. There was actually a survivor who lived in Mobile. He was from Mississippi. And, you know, a lot of these guys were 18, 19 years old, and my dad was 28. And, you know, I talked to the guy from Mississippi who was living in Mobile, and he, you know, he couldn't tell me anything. And my grandfather was never able to find out anything. And one of the things I thought about during the years, maybe some guys knew what happened to my dad, but they didn't want to say.
Right.
I understand what I mean by that. They just didn't want to tell the story. So who knows, you know?
Mm.
But I'm just happy that she's been found, and I hope it's not something that is a negative emotion for some people. I think people ought to look at it as a very positive thing, and knowing that she's found and where she rests in the ocean, and, you know, it's an honorable grave for those sailors that didn't make it.
And I don't want to create a situation where I'm asking you to set expectations or set yourself up for being let down. But is there something that you've thought about that could potentially come of this that would be like a dream come true for you?
Well, you know, I don't know what the plans are, but if we could go to the site where the coordinates are on the Pacific, I mean, that would be my dream come true if you want to look at it that way.
Mm.
The actual site above where the ship is. That would be something that I would do. On Facebook, somebody commented, maybe we can charter a boat. You know, somebody put that. I'm thinking that'd be a huge, huge, huge expense that people wouldn't be able to pay for. But somehow, if we could all get out there, meet at Guam or someplace like that, I think that would be a wonderful event.
Well, I certainly wouldn't put it past Paul Allen to put something like that together. Mr. Allen, by the way, through his Vulcan Productions, has preserved the stories of hundreds of World War II veterans on video. Those Chronicles of Courage are searchable online, and I have a link for you at hometownheroesradio.com. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to sit down with Paul Allen sometime to get his perspective on why this history is so important and what kind of impact it can have on our future. But for the rest of the hour, we are privileged to hear from Paul Loeffler III. His father, Paul E. Loeffler Jr., was lost at sea 72 years ago on the Indianapolis, but Paul III would become an Army man, graduating from the Citadel in 1963 and going on to spend 28 years in the Army before retiring as a lieutenant colonel. And Paul, you said your father's Navy background was a motivating factor in your choosing to serve our country?
I believe that was the main impetus for me to join and to volunteer. There's an aside that I haven't told yet. My father was in the Navy. His younger brother parachuted into Normandy with the 101st Airborne. Now, when you look at those two people, statistically, my Uncle Robert should have been the one to perish in the war, but he survived and my father did not. And my Uncle Robert told me stories about parachuting into Normandy and what they did and all that. And I had all that history from that side of it. So I think that's why I chose to go to a military college and receive a commission and follow through on that. And I've never had any regrets in any of that in my life. There's another interesting side to this story. If you've got a little bit of time, I can tell it.
Go for it.
Peter Benchley wrote the book Jaws. And I read the book. I was living in Chattanooga, Tennessee at the time. And in the book Jaws, there's a character named Paul Loeffler.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at the time there were only 1,200 heads of households in the United States with the name Loeffler spelled with that spelling, the L-O-E-F-F-L-E-R. And I thought, well, that's a little bit weird, but I didn't think anything of it. The character owned a delicatessen in the town where the event took place. So, read the book, enjoyed the book, and then the movie comes out. And Peter Benchley was the screenwriter for the movie. And in the movie, they have a scene where they're talking about the sinking of the Indianapolis. And I'm sitting there with the hair standing up on the back of my neck. Because my dad, Paul Leffler, was on the Indy. Peter Benchley didn't mention the Indy in the book, but mentioned it in the movie. And Paul Leffler was in the book, but not in the movie. So I contacted Peter Benchley. I was able to find him, find his information for New York, send him a letter and all that. And he sent me a short little note about he had known many men of the sea. All characters in this story are fictitious. And I was just interested in how he came about, the name and all that kind of thing. Because Indy wasn't very well known back in those days.
Right.
And what I think is happened was he probably read the doctor's book. And in the back of that book are names of survivors and the names of the KIAs from the Indy. And I think he pulled my dad's name off the back of that book and used it in his book. And he got all that information when he was doing his research to write this book about Jaws, which is basically about sharks. It wasn't about the Indianapolis.
Right.
So that was just a little interesting aside. It piqued my interest, you know, about it too. But after contacting someone and you don't really find out the information, then I let things drop at that point, move on.
Well, if he didn't pull it out of that index, it's a really eerie coincidence, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's why I was so interested in how it evolved, how the book evolved and the movie and the scene in the movie and all that. How did all that evolve, Mr. Benchley? You know, but I guess his little note that he wrote me back, it sounded like an attorney had probably written the thing. But I wasn't after anything. I was just curious.
Yeah, he's afraid of getting sued or something, huh?
Yeah, I just had curiosity about all of it.
I don't blame you. I want to thank you for your service to our country and for helping us understand something that no one else could, you know, what it was like to grow up with this knowledge and then the quest to learn about your dad. And now, as you described it, this euphoria of finding out that there might be more developments to come, that his ship has been found. I know that you've talked to a lot of people about your father over the years. You've done a lot of things to honor his legacy. What is his legacy in your mind? How do you articulate that? What does his memory and his story mean to you?
Well, he's part of that greatest generation who saved the United States, and I'm proud of that fact. I'm proud of the fact that he died in service of the United States. His photo with his medals and that kind of thing and a something from President Truman about the Indy and his name on that, signed by President Truman, is hanging in the Fairhope American Legion Hall in a place of honor. I saw that was done. At his school, University Military School in Mobile, where he graduated from in 1935, they also have that same photo of him, the World War II medals, and the President Truman document. So I've tried to keep his memory alive by doing things like that. And I'm just proud to be his son. And that's where I come from on that. At my family plot at Catholic Cemetery in Mobile, I do have a military headstone for him, even though he's not there. And it says, still at sea, which he is. He's still at sea. So that's the story. And here we are today, and it continues.
Yeah, who knows what the next chapter will bring. This discovery by Paul Allen and the research vessel Petrel has opened up a world of possibilities. That was Paul Leffler III of Fairhope, Alabama. If you go to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, you'll find more information on him, his father, on Harpo Celaya, and on the USS Indianapolis, lost for 72 years but now found on the ocean floor. One more thing to mention before we sign off, Paul Allen and his Petrel team are not planning to recover any artifacts from the sunken ship, pointing out that the USS Indianapolis is property of the U.S. Navy and will remain undisturbed. It has been quite a week in light of this discovery, and there's no doubt that the connections that are taking place now between the 19 remaining survivors of the Indy and the families of those who died will create new breakthroughs as time marches on. One thing that I'm pretty sure you do as we listen to these veteran stories here on Hometown Heroes each week is to try to imagine yourself in the place of that veteran during World War II. What you would think, what you would feel, what you would do. Would you have survived? For many of you, like me, there's that awareness of, hey, I wouldn't even be here if my dad or grandpa or great-grandpa didn't make it home. And when it comes to appreciating the price of freedom and those who truly gave their last full measure of devotion for our sake, that sense of gratitude of how blessed we are is magnified even further when the one who paid that ultimate price carries the same first and last name that you do. That's how I'm feeling today, thankful that Army veteran Paul Loeffler III, sharing about his Navy hero, Paul Loeffler Jr., has this civilian Paul Loeffler understanding as clearly as ever that freedom is not free.